Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Phantom Limb, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1: The Price of Life. Dr. Samuel Vance was a man of precision. His hands had guided scalpel and suture for over 20 years, carving out life and death with the same cold efficiency. He didn't believe in luck. He didn't believe in fate. He believed in control. That belief had made him wealthy. It had made him powerful. And it had made him a ghost in the world of black market organ trafficking. The world was filled with people willing to pay for a second chance at life. Samuel had been their savior in the shadows, slipping through the cracks of the system, navigating the loopholes, orchestrating transplants that should have been impossible. A failing heart here, a desperate billionaire there, it was all just a matter of numbers. But numbers meant nothing in the quiet sterility of the ICU. The rhythmic beeping of the heart monitor was too slow, too fragile. Each note dug into Samuel's ribs like a dull blade. His daughter, Evie, lay beneath the pale blue sheets, her skin ashen, her lips dry. Her heart, his Evie's heart, was losing its battle. Dr. Patel stood at the foot of her bed, his expression carefully controlled, the way doctors looked at family members when the news wasn't good. "She doesn't have much time," Patel murmured. "We're doing everything we can, but she needs a donor soon. A perfect match. Without it..." His voice trailed off, the silence filling in the rest. Samuel nodded slowly, his hands clenched into fists. He had seen this scene unfold too many times in other families. He had watched from a distance as desperate fathers begged, as mothers sobbed, as siblings crumbled under the weight of helplessness. He had never once imagined it would be his turn. He was Samuel Vance. He was the one who found a way. "You're her best shot, Samuel," Patel added gently. "Your connections. Your network. If anyone can." "I know." Samuel turned, walking toward the window, staring out at the city lights bleeding into the night. His reflection stared back at him, hollow-eyed, unshaven. A ghost of the man he had been just days ago. The irony tasted bitter. How many times had he orchestrated these deals? How many times had he arranged the removal of a healthy heart from one chest, only to place it into another? How many times had he justified it, telling himself that he was saving a life, just not the one that was lost? Now, Evie needed one. And no amount of money, no number of connections, no whispered favors in darkened hallways could conjure a perfect match out of thin air. Unless he took it back. Samuel's pulse pounded at the thought. He still had the records. The names. The locations. He knew exactly where the recipients lived. People who had once been at death's door. People who now woke up each morning with a steady heartbeat that didn't belong to them. People who had been given a gift. A gift that was never truly theirs. His hands curled into fists. If the world refused to give Evie a heart, he would carve one from the guilty. The thought settled deep into his bones. He was no stranger to blood. He had stood in operating rooms, his hands slick with crimson, the scent of antiseptic sharp in his nose. He had seen hearts in his hands before, pulsing delicate, still warm. The only difference now was that the anesthesia would be absent. He turned back to Patel, his voice steel. "I'll find a donor." Patel studied him carefully, his dark eyes searching. He didn't ask how. Maybe he already knew not to. He simply nodded. "I'll be here when you do. The hunt begins." The drive home was long and silent. Samuel's knuckles whitened against the steering wheel. The city was alive around him, cars speeding past, neon signs flickering against the wet pavement, but he didn't see any of it. His mind was already somewhere else. Daniel Ross. The name stood out among the many in his files. A tech mogul, drowning in wealth but sentenced to death by a failing heart just last year. Samuel had saved him. Found him a donor, a young man, barely 22, struck by a car and left brain dead before his body had even turned cold. A tragedy, they had called it. A waste. No. Not a waste. A transaction. Ross had paid seven figures for the operation. Now he lived, oblivious to the weight of the heartbeat inside his chest. Samuel parked a few houses down from Ross's mansion, his fingers drumming against the dashboard. The house was dark, its towering iron gates standing as silent sentinels against the night. A fortress. But every fortress had its weak point. Samuel knew this one well. Security codes hadn't changed since his last visit for a post-op consultation. Ross had never expected the surgeon who saved his life to return in the dead of night, slipping through the shadows like a phantom. The rain poured down as Samuel stepped out of the car, his medical bag gripped tight in one hand. He wasn't here as a doctor tonight. Tonight, he was something else entirely. The house was silent when he entered. Inside, the air smelled of whiskey and leather, the remnants of a life lived in excess. Samuel moved swiftly, a shadow among the darkness, navigating the hallways with surgical precision. He found Ross in the living room, sprawled across a luxurious leather couch, his chest rising and falling in peaceful oblivion. A steady heartbeat. Evie's heartbeat. Samuel set his bag down on the counter, his hands moving automatically. He unzipped it with precision. Scalpel. Sutures. Syringe. A doctor's tools, repurposed for something far darker. Ross stirred, his breath thick with the remnants of alcohol. His eyes fluttered open, unfocused, confused. What the? Samuel pressed the syringe into his neck before he could fully wake. Ross's body slackened, his limbs going limp as the sedative pulled him under. Time was short. Samuel rolled up his sleeves, the glow of the chandelier above casting sharp shadows across his face. The scalpel gleamed under the light. He inhaled deeply. Steady. Controlled. Just like every surgery before. But this wasn't a sterile operating room. There were no bright fluorescent lights, no nurses to assist, no beeping machines to track vitals. Only the wet sound of flesh giving way. Only the rhythm of rain against the windows. Only the beat of a heart that was never his to take. Blood pooled beneath his fingers as he worked, his movements methodical, precise. And then, finally, the heart. Samuel held it in his hands, crimson dripping onto the marble floor. One step closer to saving Evie. One step deeper into damnation. The line between surgeon and butcher had never felt so thin. One down. Four to go. Chapter 2, The First Cut. The rain was relentless, drumming against the pavement in an unyielding rhythm. A city swallowed in darkness, its neon lights blurred by the downpour. The kind of night where sins went unnoticed, where ghosts walked unseen. Dr. Samuel Vance sat behind the wheel of his car, gripping the steering wheel so tightly his knuckles turned white. His hands still smelled of antiseptic, of blood, of the sterile remnants of a life he had abandoned the moment he made the first incision. Ross had been easy. Too easy. The high life made people complacent. They assumed money, and walls made them untouchable. But Samuel had proven otherwise. The heart he had stolen now rested in a temperature-controlled storage container in his trunk, waiting to be delivered to the hospital. Waiting to save Evie. Except it wouldn't. The call had come less than an hour ago. It's not a match, Samuel. Dr. Patel's voice had been careful, measured, the way one spoke to a man teetering on the edge. I don't know where you got it, and I'm not going to ask. But it won't save her. Samuel had gripped the phone so hard it nearly cracked. Not a match. A lifetime of orchestrating transplants, pairing donors with recipients, yet when it mattered most, he had failed. Ross's death was meaningless. Samuel let out a slow, shuddering breath, his fingers flexing against the leather of the steering wheel. He had no choice. He had to continue. He had to keep hunting. His gaze flickered to the folder resting on the passenger seat. A name circled in red. Gregory Holt. A senator's brother. 59 years old. Received a transplant last year after suffering a massive cardiac arrest. Samuel had arranged the deal personally. An off-the-books operation in a private facility. No paper trail. No questions asked. He remembered the donor. A young Marine. Killed in a training accident. Healthy. Strong. A perfect match for Holt. A perfect match for Evie, too. Samuel clenched his jaw, his pulse thrumming in his ears. He didn't want to think about the things he had done, about the blood on his hands. The line he had crossed, the pieces of his soul he had already carved away. All that mattered was Evie. He put the car into drive. The hunt. Holt was careful. Not like Ross. The senator's brother knew what it meant to be a man in his position, to be a man with enemies. Samuel had spent 2 days watching him, studying his movements. He had a routine, a carefully constructed life of political engagements, high-end dinners, and a mistress young enough to be his daughter. The mistress was the key. Tuesday nights. Holt visited her every week, slipping away from his estate under the cover of darkness, leaving behind his security detail for a few hours of secrecy. It was the perfect opportunity. Samuel parked a block away from the woman's apartment, the city around him alive with the hum of traffic, the distant wail of sirens. He sat in silence, waiting. At exactly 10:47 p.m., Holt emerged from the building. He adjusted his expensive coat, checked his watch, and stepped toward his sleek black sedan. Samuel moved before he could second-guess himself. Holt had barely opened the car door when Samuel grabbed him from behind, pressing the syringe against his neck. The senator's brother tensed, a strangled gasp escaping his lips before the drug flooded his veins. It took 6 seconds. 6 seconds for his body to go limp. Samuel wasted no time. He hauled Holt's unconscious form into the van he had rented under a false name, securing him with practiced efficiency. Then he drove. The city lights faded behind him, swallowed by the endless stretch of highway. The road stretched on, empty and desolate, rain hammering against the windshield in a steady, unrelenting rhythm. He didn't take Holt to a hospital. He didn't need an operating room. All he needed was time. And time was running out. The procedure. The cabin was deep in the woods, far from the eyes of the city, the kind of place where screams went unheard. It had belonged to a man Samuel once knew, a surgeon who had fallen into disgrace, a man who had vanished years ago, leaving behind an empty house and a silence that never quite faded. Samuel had brought everything he needed. The room was cold. The single bulb overhead cast long, sharp shadows, flickering slightly from the old wiring. The scent of antiseptic and rain filled the air. Holt lay strapped to the table, his chest rising and falling in steady rhythm. His eyelids fluttered, a low groan slipping past his lips as the sedative began to wear off. Samuel pulled on his gloves. The latex snapped against his wrists, the sound sharp in the quiet. He reached for the scalpel. The moment Holt's eyes opened, Samuel saw it, the slow bloom of confusion, the hazy flicker of fear as realization dawned. "Wah!" his voice cracked. His limbs twitched against the restraints. "WH, what's happening?" Samuel didn't answer. Holt's breath hitched as he tugged harder against the restraints. "Jesus Christ," his gaze darted around the room, finally landing on Samuel's face. Recognition. Panic. "Oh God, Dr. Vance. What the hell is this?" Samuel exhaled slowly, his grip tightening around the scalpel. "I'm sorry, Gregory." His voice was calm. Too calm. "But I need your heart back." Holt froze. For a moment, he just stared. Then he started thrashing. "No, no, wait. Listen, please. You can't." The words cut off in a choked scream as Samuel pressed the scalpel to flesh. The incision was precise. Clean. A practiced motion, one he had done 100 times before. But never like this. Never with a man fully aware beneath him. Blood pooled, hot and thick. The room filled with the wet sounds of flesh yielding to steel. Holt gasped, his body convulsing, his pleas turning to incoherent whimpers. Samuel didn't stop. He couldn't stop. Not when Evie's life hung in the balance. With one final cut, it was done. The heart lay in his hands, slick with blood, still faintly warm. Holt's eyes stared sightlessly at the ceiling, his mouth parted in a silent scream. Samuel stepped back, breathing heavily, his gloves stained crimson. Another heart. Another step toward saving Evie. He placed the organ into the storage unit, securing it with the same care he had used 100 times before. But something felt different. Holt had been awake. He had known. And when Samuel looked down at his hands, he realized. He wasn't just a surgeon anymore. He was something else entirely. Something monstrous. And there was no turning back. Chapter 3. A Trail of Ghosts. The morning light crept in through the half-closed blinds, painting long streaks across the cold tile floor of the hospital hallway. Dr. Samuel Vance stood with his arms crossed, his body tense, his mind racing. The second heart. He had brought it in the dead of night, just like the first. Had walked through the staff entrance, masked, gloved, untraceable. He knew every blind spot in the hospital's security, every unattended corridor. He had slipped the cooler into Patel's hands with no words exchanged, only a single nod. And yet, here he was, standing outside Evie's ICU room, waiting for the verdict he already feared. Footsteps approached. Dr. Patel's voice was heavy when he spoke. "Samuel, it's not a match." Samuel exhaled sharply, staring straight ahead, as if his mind refused to process the words. It had to be a match. It had to. His nails dug into his palms. Run the tests again. We ran them 3 times. It's close, but not perfect. Patel hesitated, lowering his voice. Where are you getting these hearts? Samuel's silence was answer enough. Patel shook his head, running a hand over his face. You need to stop. Samuel let out a bitter laugh. Stop, and let my daughter die. She wouldn't want this. Samuel's hands clenched into fists. She wouldn't care. She just wants to live. Patel's eyes darkened, his voice barely above a whisper. You're playing God, Samuel. But even God had limits. Samuel met his gaze, unflinching. Then I guess it's a good thing I'm not him. Without another word, he turned and walked away. He had wasted too much time already. Evie was running out of it, and there were still names on his list. A city of sins. New York had always been a city of ghosts. Samuel had spent years navigating its underbelly, moving in circles where money bought miracles, where morality was nothing more than a convenient illusion. The people on his list weren't just recipients. They were customers. People who had paid for stolen time, who had begged him for salvation, and had been granted it at the cost of another's life. Now they would pay the price again. He sat in his car, parked in a dimly lit garage beneath a luxury high-rise. Rain drizzled against the windshield, blurring the world beyond it. His laptop sat open in the passenger seat, displaying the medical records he had once safeguarded. He scrolled through them slowly, his pulse steady despite the storm of chaos inside his head. Harrison Wilkes. Age, 47. Real estate mogul. Diagnosed with end-stage heart failure last year. Given 6 months to live. But then, Samuel had given him a new heart. A stolen one. Samuel clicked on the next file. Martin Yao. Age, 52. Former hedge fund manager. A life of indulgence had ravaged his body, but wealth had rewritten his fate. Another recipient. Another thief of borrowed time. His gaze settled on the last name. Vincent Moreno. Age, 39. Underground casino owner. A man who lived in excess, who had bought his heart with blood money. Samuel's fingers hovered over the keyboard. 3 names. 3 more chances. He exhaled and shut the laptop. He had work to do. Harrison Wilkes, the sins of the wealthy. Wilkes lived in a penthouse overlooking the city, his wealth shielding him from the reality of the lives beneath him. But no amount of money could shield him from Samuel. It took 2 days to study his routine. 2 days to track his movements, to find the weak points in the walls he had built around himself. Samuel found his moment on a Thursday night. Wilkes frequented a private lounge, an exclusive club with tinted windows and bouncers at the door, the kind of place where millionaires indulged in sins they'd never admit to. Samuel waited until he left, followed him through the rain-slick streets. Wilkes moved with the arrogance of a man who believed himself untouchable. He had survived death once. He had been given a second chance. He had no idea it was about to be revoked. The attack was swift. Precise. Samuel struck as Wilkes stepped into the parking garage, pressing the syringe to his neck before he could react. The man let out a strangled gasp before collapsing into Samuel's arms. The world around them remained blissfully unaware. The rich never watched the streets beneath them. Samuel drove. The procedure, a surgeon's wrath. The makeshift operating room was colder than before. Samuel had stripped Wilkes down, secured him to the table. The sedative kept him still, but his eyes fluttered, consciousness clawing its way back. Samuel stood over him, breath steady. Wilkes' heart had been a gift. Now it was a debt being collected. As the scalpel pressed into flesh, Wilkes stirred, his body twitching. His eyes snapped open, a guttural groan slipping past his lips. Samuel didn't stop. Wilkes' pupils dilated with terror. No, no, please. The plea was cut off by the wet sound of steel carving through tissue. Blood spilled across the table, warm and thick, pooling beneath Samuel's gloves. Wilkes convulsed, breath hitching. His fingers twitched, his mouth shaping silent words. Samuel didn't listen, didn't hesitate. With one final incision, the heart was his. He stepped back, breathing heavily, staring down at the organ resting in his bloodied hands. He had done it again. And yet, as he placed the heart in the sterile cooler, as he wiped his hands clean, something gnawed at the back of his mind. He was running out of names. And Evie was running out of time. A monster in the mirror. The hospital air was thick with antiseptic, the scent sharp and unforgiving. Samuel walked through the halls, the cooler clutched in his grip, his mind a fog of exhaustion and desperation. Patel was waiting for him. Samuel handed him the heart without a word. Patel hesitated before taking it. His eyes searched Samuel's face, looking for something, but there was nothing left to find. Samuel had carved away every part of himself that wasn't necessary. All that remained was a father willing to do the unthinkable. "I'll run the tests," Patel said quietly. Samuel nodded and walked away. He didn't go to Evie's room. He couldn't. Instead, he stepped into the men's restroom, gripping the sink, staring at his reflection in the mirror. The man who looked back was unrecognizable. His eyes were hollow. His face was gaunt. Blood still stained his fingertips, despite the countless times he had washed them. He had thought himself above the monsters who paid for stolen organs. But now, he was worse than all of them, because monsters killed for power. Samuel killed for love, and that made him far more dangerous. Chapter 4, The Reaper's Reflection. The storm outside matched the chaos inside Samuel's mind. Rain slashed against the city like knives, wind howling through the dark streets. He sat in his car outside the hospital, hands gripping the steering wheel so tightly that his fingers ached. Dr. Patel's voice still rang in his ears. "It's not a match, Samuel." His breath shuddered. His pulse pounded. His world cracked just a little more. Wilk's heart, like the two before it, was worthless. Three stolen lives. Three pools of blood soaking into the earth. And still, Evie lay dying. Samuel pressed his forehead against the steering wheel, his breaths ragged. How many more? How many hearts would he carve from the chests of those he once saved before the right one surfaced? He had believed he was in control. That if he took back what was his, he could bend fate to his will. But fate was a cruel thing. It toyed with him. It dragged him deeper into the abyss, dangling salvation just out of reach. And now it mocked him. His body trembled as he sat back, staring at his reflection in the rain-streaked windshield. The man looking back was hollow, unrecognizable. A man who had traded the white coat of a surgeon for the shadowed cloak of a butcher. A monster. And yet, he still wasn't willing to stop. His phone buzzed, jarring him back to reality. Unknown number. He hesitated, then answered. "Vance." A low voice hummed on the other end. Smooth. Calculated. "You've been sloppy, doctor." Samuel's heart stopped. The voice continued, calm as death. "You thought you were invisible. That no one was watching. But you were wrong." Samuel swallowed hard, gripping the phone. "Who is this?" A chuckle, cold and amused. "Someone with what you need." Samuel's breath hitched. The voice softened, a predator whispering to its prey. "Meet me at the abandoned slaughterhouse on 17th Street. Midnight. Alone." The line went dead. Samuel stared at the phone, the weight of the call sinking into his bones. He should ignore it. He should run. But his hands were already gripping the steering wheel, turning the key, guiding him toward the unknown. The devil's bargain. The slaughterhouse loomed in the darkness, its rusted frame stretching toward the storm-choked sky. Decades of decay clung to it, the scent of old death woven into the metal, the bones of its past still whispering beneath the rain. Samuel stepped out of the car, his medical bag in hand, his heartbeat a steady, cold rhythm. He had walked into dark places before, but this one felt different. A figure stood in the shadows, just beyond the broken loading dock. Tall, dressed in black, his face obscured by the hood of his coat. Samuel approached slowly. "You called me," he said, his voice steady despite the weight in his chest. The man turned slightly, his movements unhurried. "I did." Samuel clenched his jaw. "What do you want?" The man reached into his coat and pulled out a thin file, tossing it onto a rusted crate between them. "It's not about what I want, Dr. Vance. It's about what you want." Samuel hesitated before picking up the file. His hands trembled as he opened it. Medical reports. Blood work. A name. A perfect match. His stomach twisted. This can't be real. His voice was barely above a whisper. "Where did you get this?" The man tilted his head. "Does it matter?" Samuel swallowed hard, scanning the papers. Every detail was precise. Every marker aligned. This was it. This was Evie's salvation. He lifted his gaze. "What's the catch?" The man smirked, stepping closer. "A life for a life." Samuel's pulse spiked. The man continued, his voice like silk against a blade. "You take this heart, and you work for me. Your skills. Your silence. No questions. No refusals." Samuel's grip tightened around the file. "And if I say no?" The man's smile didn't falter. "Then your daughter dies." Samuel's breath came fast, sharp, the weight of the choice pressing down on his chest. The man leaned in, voice barely a whisper. "You're already a killer, doctor. The only difference now is who you kill for. A gust of wind howled through the abandoned slaughterhouse. The walls seemed to close in. Samuel knew he had no choice. He never did. The final cut. The room was cold. The heartbeat monitor beeped softly in the background, an eerie reminder of what was at stake. The donor lay on the table, young, healthy, unaware of the fate that had been signed away. Samuel stood over him, his hands steady despite the storm inside his mind. He had sworn an oath once. To heal. To protect. To save. Now he was something else entirely. His fingers curled around the scalpel. The donor stirred, his breath hitching. Where am I? Samuel pressed a hand to his forehead, whispering, Shuh. The anesthesia was already taking hold, pulling the young man under. This was different from the others. They had been guilty. They had lived on stolen time, borrowed life. But this boy had done nothing. A lump formed in Samuel's throat. His hand hovered over the incision site. For the first time, his fingers trembled. Could he do this? Could he damn himself completely? The heartbeat monitor beeped steadily. Evie's face flashed before his eyes. Her laugh. Her tiny fingers wrapped around his. She was waiting. She was dying. Samuel closed his eyes, inhaling deeply. He had come too far to stop now. He had crossed every line. With one final breath, he made the cut. Blood welled, spilling across the sterile sheets, staining his gloves, his arms, his soul. The heart, her heart, was his. The monitor flatlined. The silence stretched. Samuel stepped back, staring at the still body before him. His hands were red. His vision blurred. His breath shuddered. He had saved Evie. But as he stood there, his reflection staring back at him from the blood-slicked surgical tools, he realized. There was nothing left of the man he once was. Only a monster remained. Chapter 5, The Final Incision. The heartbeat monitor beeped in a steady rhythm, filling the sterile air of the ICU. Its sound had been Samuel's torment for weeks, a slow, fragile reminder of how little time Evie had left. But not anymore. Now it was a song of victory. Samuel stood in the hallway, staring through the glass window of his daughter's hospital room. Evie was alive. Her small body, once weak and failing, now held the heart he had sacrificed everything for. His fingers twitched at his sides. He should feel relief. Instead, all he felt was the crushing weight of the blood on his hands. Three men dead, one innocent life stolen, and a debt he could never repay. Patel's voice snapped him out of his trance. The surgery was a success. Samuel turned, meeting his old friend's gaze. She'll recover, Patel continued, voice careful, as if he was afraid of what Samuel had become. Her body's accepting the heart. She's stable. Samuel exhaled, a breath that should have been one of gratitude. Instead, it felt like the last gasp of the man he used to be. Patel studied him carefully. Where did you get it? Samuel didn't answer. But Patel already knew. The silence stretched between them, thick with unspoken truths. Finally, Patel sighed. I should call the police. Samuel's expression didn't change. But you won't. Patel hesitated, his hand clenched at his side. No, he admitted. I won't. He turned back to the window, watching Evie sleep. Because I know you did this for her. Samuel nodded. But they both knew the truth. He hadn't done this for Evie. Not entirely. He had done this because he was incapable of losing. Because deep down, he still believed he could control fate. And now, fate had other plans. His phone buzzed in his pocket. He already knew who it was before he looked. The devil had come to collect. A life of servitude. The meet was set for midnight. Same slaughterhouse. Same rules. Come alone. Samuel sat in his car, staring at the rusted structure in the distance. This wasn't a negotiation. He had made his choice the moment he made the cut. He had saved Evie. Now he belonged to them. With slow, steady movements, he stepped out of the car. The night air was thick, heavy with the scent of damp metal and old death. His footsteps echoed on the wet pavement as he approached the entrance. The man was already waiting. Same black coat. Same calm, knowing smile. I was beginning to think you wouldn't show, the man mused. Samuel kept his face blank. I'm here. The man nodded approvingly. Good. You've proven yourself useful, doctor. Samuel's jaw clenched. I didn't do it for you. The man chuckled. Of course not. You did it for her. He stepped closer, voice dropping to a whisper. But now you do it for us. Samuel inhaled slowly, his fingers flexing. What do you want from me? The man handed him a small black envelope. Inside, you'll find details on your first assignment. Samuel hesitated before taking it. The envelope was thick. It wasn't just one job. It was a lifetime of them. His pulse remained steady. He had known this moment was coming. The man leaned in. Consider this a new chapter of your career. Samuel slid the envelope into his coat. And if I refuse? The man smirked. Then we tell the world what you've done. A cold silence fell between them. Samuel didn't flinch. There was no going back. No undoing the past. No salvation for the damned. He gave a slow nod. I'll be in touch, the man said, turning to leave. Enjoy your daughter while you can, doctor. Then he disappeared into the night. A father's sin. Samuel returned to the hospital before dawn. The hallways were quiet, the world still suspended in the hush of early morning. He stepped into Evie's room. She was awake. Her eyes fluttered open as he approached, a slow, drowsy smile forming on her lips. Dad. His breath hitched. She looked better. Color had returned to her cheeks. Her voice was stronger. Alive. His hands trembled as he sat beside her, brushing her hair back. I'm here, sweetheart. Her fingers curled weakly around his. I had a dream. Samuel swallowed past the lump in his throat. What was it about? Her lips twitched into a faint smile. You were a hero. His chest tightened. He forced a smile. I think you need more rest. She giggled softly, already drifting back to sleep. Samuel sat there for a long time, watching her breathe, listening to the steady rhythm of her heart. Her new heart. A stolen heart. The weight of it pressed against him, suffocating. She was safe. She was alive. And now he was damned. Epilogue: The Man in the Mirror. Samuel stood in his bathroom, the overhead light buzzing faintly. His reflection stared back at him, eyes shadowed, hollow. Blood was gone from his hands, scrubbed away by countless washes, but he could still feel it. Dripping. Soaking into his skin. The ghosts of the men he had killed whispered to him in the silence. Ross. Holt. Wilkes. The boy. His fingers curled against the sink. He had done what he had to do. He had saved his daughter. But he had lost himself. A phone buzzed on the counter. The black envelope sat beside it, waiting. Samuel closed his eyes. When he opened them again, the man who had once been Dr. Samuel Vance was gone. Only the Reaper remained. The end.